Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic health share ministry to provide an affordable health sharing program rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthshare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare fully alive.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Delighted to be with you. Thanks for being with us. We got actually two really fine hours for you today. Second hour, Dr. Mary Healy will be here, one of the top Bible scholars in the world, and we're going to talk about the big picture about the Bible. So hang around for Dr. Healy next hour. This hour, well, you are probably familiar with the name Thomas Aquinas if you ever listen to this show, because often people will make reference to Aquinas said this or Aquinas said that. So who is this guy, and why are we Catholics always trying to think like him? Well, Kevin Vost has written a brand new book, How to Think Like Aquinas, The Sure Way to Perfect Your Mental Powers. Dr. Vost has taught psychology at Aquinas College in Nashville, Tennessee, and at the University of Illinois at Springfield. He's the author of more than a dozen Catholic books, in fact. Those include Three Irish Saints, and with Catholic Answers Press, he wrote Memorize the Reasons. And as I said, this is the brand new one, How to Think Like Aquinas. Dr. Kevin Vost, thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me today, Cy.
Well, we have a very full studio here, Dr. Vost, because the women of the Women's Guild of St. Mark's Parish up the road are here. And so I really expect you to give your best today. We do not want to let this crowd down.
Oh, absolutely. I will do my foremost. And St. Thomas Aquinas, help me.
Amen, brother. Okay, so tell us about Thomas Aquinas. Why do we care about Thomas Aquinas?
Sure. You know, I care about him because he's one of the most profound doctors of the church. He's also the person who brought me back into the church after 25 years of atheism. So he can be a great bridge to atheists because he is just a master of both the faith and reason. He was a great, masterful thinker. And his arguments were so powerful, they had the capacity to draw some people back into the church. In fact, Pope Leo XIII wrote in one of his encyclicals in 1879 that for people who said they'll follow only reason, what's going to draw them back to the church are the stirrings of the Holy Spirit, the writings of the church fathers and the scholastic theologians, and foremost of all, St. Thomas Aquinas. And that is exactly what happened to me.
That's an exciting story because Thomas is not a recent fella. I mean, it's exciting to think of somebody who is from the 12th century still making converts to the Catholic faith.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, I was pulled away from the church in the late 70s by reading the wrong kinds of modern philosophy. And it wasn't until my early 40s that I read St. Thomas, who, yes, was writing over 700 years ago, that I found he just so masterfully answered all of these arguments that our modern new atheists are putting out there. You know, Thomas's wonderful answers have been there for hundreds and hundreds of years, but I didn't have a clue, you know. But thankfully, he is there for all of us in the Catholic Church, all of us who we would hope to draw to the Catholic Church if we seek him out.
Okay, so what is it that you're trying to accomplish in the book, How to Think Like Aquinas?
Sure. You know, in a way, you know, it's sort of a culmination of a lot of my previous work on Thomas Aquinas. I started with doing some books on memory that Thomas actually wrote about, these specific memory techniques, and I incorporate that into this book. But the subtitle of How to Think Like Aquinas is the Sure Way to Perfect Your Mental Powers. And that's part of my goal there. It's for people who are already Catholics to realize, you know, we were made in God's image and likeness, foremost by the fact that God graced us with intellects the ability to reason, to find truth in a way that no other creature on earth can, you know, and wills, so we can guide our actions by the truths that our intellects find for us instead of just instincts. So part of my goal here is to help us realize that these are powers God gives us and powers we can develop. You know, every athlete knows God gives us certain, you know, muscles and tendons and nerves, but it's up to us, you know, to build them up, to make them strong or to make them fast or enduring or coordinated. And to some extent, even these intellectual powers are kind of raw capacities like that. We can build them. And in many of the writings of St. Thomas Aquinas, he shows us how.
Dr. Kevin Vost is our guest. His brand new book is How to Think Like Aquinas. And so how do we think like Aquinas?
Sure. I'll start kind of at the end of the book here and point out that once we really understand the way Thomas has laid out the nature of the human intellect, it enables us to answer all kinds of what I call erroneous isms or premises of sand that are floating around our culture, relativism, constructivism, things like this. Once we realize the way Thomas explains to us that our minds really are capable of ascertaining truth, you know, the truths of external reality, can give us great confidence, you know, in embracing truths found through reason and truths of our faith. But the book itself, okay. You know, Thomas's writings are extremely extensive, and some of them can be hard to jump into. Lots of philosophy and theology. His Summa Theologica is over 3,000 pages long, over 1.5 million words. But this book, How to Think Like Aquinas, starts with a small little letter he wrote to some brother John who asked him for advice on how do I study and grow in wisdom and find the truth. So Thomas penned this letter that's like 1.5 pages or so long, and that becomes the basis of the first part of this book. We go through Thomas's letter, kind of one little suggestion or precept at a time, and flesh that out with ideas that Thomas developed much more fully in his other writings, like his great Summas and his commentaries on the scripture.
888-318-7884 is our number if you'd like to get in on this conversation about Thomas Aquinas and how to think like Aquinas. That is the title of Dr. Kevin Vost's brand new book. 888-318-7884. Do you, in your view, I suppose as a psychologist, but also as a scholar of Thomas Aquinas, have a sense that there's something about the modern mind that has difficulty thinking like Thomas, or do we face mental temptations and maybe difficulties in the modern era that a person like Thomas might not have faced?
Yes. I think on the two levels there, in terms of the intellectual problems, so many of us are influenced by, you know, modern philosophy and modern ideological thought that kind of casts doubt on the powers of the human mind. Yeah. This idea, you know, well, what is truth? Who can really get at truth? You know, well, that's true for you. This is true for me. Thomas can give us a grounding in more ancient and more accurate philosophy that shows there really is a direct connection between what we can perceive with our senses and then what reason can lead us to in terms of truth about the things of the world. So we do have this intellectual climate there where we see philosophy as something that breeds confusion. The philosopher is a person that says, prove to me that you're really sitting there, you know, instead of imparting wisdom like Thomas does. Also, yeah, on the emotional side, another thing Thomas talks about, we need this capacity to focus, to be studious. He even talks about a virtue of studiositas or studiousness. And we are distracted, of course, in our world, as we all know, in ways that Thomas may not even have dreamt of in terms of all the, you know, the wonderful technology, the wonderful things that didn't even exist when I was a kid that are always out there now to tempt us. Of course, they can be great tools, but they can make it harder and harder for us to focus our attention on what's really important.
Again, 888-318-7884 is our number. Already folks calling. Would you like to take a call, Dr. Vost?
I'd be happy to, yes.
Let's go to Colin in Newport, Virginia. Colin, your question for Dr. Kevin Vost.
Hi there, doctor. My name is Colin, and recently I was challenged by, an acquaintance of mine who firmly believes that St. Thomas Aquinas taught in some way, shape, or form, the Protestant doctrine of sola scriptura. And he pointed to some writing of his. I haven't looked into it yet, but some writing of his where St. Thomas Aquinas states the canonical scriptures alone are the rule of faith. And I was just wondering, do you happen to know the context behind that, or if what he's saying is not true?
Well, you know, I'm not exactly sure what writing that person might have been talking about. I'm a bit surprised about it, because often the critique is the other way. They critique Thomas for relying too much on reason. If you read his Summa Theologica, it's full of quotations from Aristotle, from Plato, from Seneca, from pagan philosophers. So he definitely sought truth through reason as well as the faith. When it comes to the faith, he cites scripture without end. He's also citing the writings of the Catholic Church doctors who elucidated that scripture. And there are many explicit statements in Thomas where he does talk about the authority of the Pope and the magisterium of the Church. He says, for example, the universal Church cannot err, since she is governed by the Holy Ghost, who is the spirit of the truth. That's just one particular brief saying from the Summa Theologica, second part of the second part, question 1, article 90. And in other parts of the Summa in particular, he does talk about recognizing the authority of the Church. He talks about difficult questions being referred to the Pope. So, yeah, this idea that Thomas believed in sola scriptura is one I've never heard.
You don't have a quote from Thomas Collin, just this idea that he taught that?
He kind of is, he's very firm in his beliefs to a point where it's almost kind of arrogant. So I kind of suspected that he was probably pulling something completely out of context, but I hadn't had the chance to research it by myself.
Well, Thomas does say that we have to... In the Summa, he says we have to stay connected to the first truth that's manifested in Holy Scripture, but that is not the same as sola scriptura. That means that you can't, as a Catholic, say, "Well, there's some things that I reject in Scripture because tradition is opposed to it." I don't think you will find that Thomas is a sola scriptura guy. That's a stretch.
Yes, and Thomas, you know, always talks about the unity of truth, the truth of reason, the truths of the faith. He's never finding any conflict there. And in fact, his Summa Contra Gentiles, for example, one of his other major Summa before the Summa Theologica, kind of designed to convert people from outside of the faith. Virtually three-fourths of that is based on arguments, you know, from reason alone before he brings in the scripture. So Thomas was a man who definitely recognized truth regardless of its source. His letter to his brother John says that. There's never anything in St. Thomas's writings where he would deny the truth of Scripture, but he does definitely stress the importance of interpreting it correctly as guided by the Catholic Church.
Colin, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very, very much for that call and for that question.
Thank you, Colin.
Kevin Vost is our guest. How to Think Like Aquinas is the book, if you'd like to know about how to think like Aquinas. The only problem is you're going to have to do something like, well, believe that some things are true and some things are false, and there's such a thing as reality, and that our senses can give us information about the real world. That could be a problem for many modern people, but if you're willing, you can think like Aquinas. Your questions are welcome. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. And don't forget that right now, even Kevin's book that he did, Memorize the Reasons here for Catholic Answers, is among the books that's on sale at shop.catholic.com, 20% off, hundreds of items. You just put in the promo code CALIVE18 when you check out, and you get that 20% off. Just go to shop.catholic.com, put in the promo code CALIVE18, and get your savings.
Many Protestants believe Christians can be absolutely sure they're going to heaven because John tells us in 1 John 5:13, "I write this that you may know you have eternal life." But is this true? The answer is no, and here are some reasons why. First, John writes in the next verse, and this is the confidence which we have in him. For John, the knowledge we have of our salvation is not a certainty without doubt, but a confident assurance. And that's the Catholic belief. Second, we know this is what John means because in verse 15, he draws a parallel between our knowledge of salvation and our knowledge that God grants our requests. Do we have absolute certitude that God will grant our requests? No, but we are confident He will answer. So, Catholics need not worry. John is not teaching Protestant doctrine here. I'm Carlo Broussard with the Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Father Robert Spitzer.
First of all, you will get a much deeper awareness of your faith, much deeper awareness of the evidence for your faith, explanations of tough theological issues, how science and reason and faith come together, and above all, a deeper awareness of how to practice your faith and how to live it.
Father Spitzer's Universe with Father Robert Spitzer. Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
I think most people would agree that we have a thinking problem in our world, that it's not just that we maybe are wrong about a lot of things or that our society is a little bit lost on a lot of things, but we're having trouble thinking. We're having trouble forming, realistic and thoughts that are grounded in something other than just our feelings. And so we welcome this book, How to Think Like Aquinas, because Aquinas is one of the great thinkers in history. And he actually is a guy who thought a lot about how to think. Kevin Vost wrote the book, How to Think Like Aquinas. He is our guest this hour. You start by saying, speak slowly and carry a big heart and mind. What is that about?
Yeah, here's where I'm just kind of going one by one through the particular precepts in this simple letter when St. Thomas is giving his advice back to Brother John. And he starts kind of in a preface by saying that we're going to start with small streams of knowledge and work your way up to the deeper sea. So start with things that are simple and then work your way deeper to deeper truths after you've kind of paid your dues with the more basic information. This one about, I call it, speak slowly and carry a big heart and mind. Now, I'm just kind of trying to help us remember the title. So I'm playing with Theodore Roosevelt's old famous saying of speak softly and carry a big stick. But here, Thomas's precept says to be slow to speak and slow to enter the common room where people chat. So he's basically giving us some common sense homespun advice of, you know, listen and think before you talk. You know, there's a sense where all these precepts in this little letter are common places like that. You might have heard from your grandparents, you know, God gave us two ears and just one mouth. It's also in Scripture. In James, the book of Proverbs, talk about being slow or quick to listen and slow to speak. Even a guy from my town here, Springfield, Illinois, Abraham Lincoln, was really steeped in the Scriptures. And he once said that it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt, you know. So ideas like this, we're starting with just being open to learning from others and being docile. There's actually a virtue of docilitas or docility that Thomas expounds on, where we dispose ourselves to being open to learning from others, not assuming that we know it all in advance, which seems to be another problem with our world today, you know, opining without having done our homework.
Okay, so now I say to myself, okay, that's good advice. I would like to be someone who actually learns and forms complete thoughts before jumping into the fray. I mean, that's certainly not encouraged in our media today, but right. in life we can do that. But so what does Aquinas say about the importance of praying or being in prayer in order to get you to do what you want to do, so to speak? If I want to be a reasonable person, I want to know the truth. And he doesn't leave prayer out of that.
Yeah, that's exactly right, you know, because as much as Thomas valued reason, you know, he knew that grace perfects nature. And we're to call upon God and pray to, you know, to open up our hearts and minds. So it said, Thomas himself said that as much as he's known for his study and his, you know, amazing efforts that he put into to learning and building an amazing knowledge base, that he accredited his wisdom more to prayer even than to study. He would pray before he studied a particular subject, because he said, you know, when we pray, we're face-to-face talking with the teacher of all teachers, the truth, also the truth with a capital T. So this prayer, you know, prayerful habit opens us up to God's grace, opens us up, you know, to the gifts of the Holy Spirit that include things like knowledge and understanding and wisdom. So it can maximize our ability to use these natural capacities that God was so good as to give us.
888-318-7884, the number. Dr. Kevin Vost, our guest. How to Think Like Aquinas is the book. This struck me as chapter 5 here strikes me as something you will not likely hear a modern college professor say. We seem to think that we're going to solve the problem of not being able to think clearly with like critical reasoning classes and that kind of thing. But that's not enough. It won't work. And Aquinas says, well, you paraphrasing Aquinas say, set your intellect free by avoiding worldly entanglements. Now, that's not going to come up in a critical thinking course. What does that mean?
Yeah. Avoiding the worldly entanglements. It kind of, again, further draws on the distinction Thomas makes between the virtue of studiousness, studiositas, and the vice of curiositas, or curiosity. And he doesn't mean it's wrong to be curious and to want to know, to have an inquiring mind. But the kind of curiosity he's talking about is when we're too focused on things that don't really matter, our cares about worldly things that aren't so important, to the point that we're distracted. We don't focus on the things that matter the most, the realm of studiousness. Now, also in terms of critical thinking, I know we hear this a lot. We need to be critical thinkers. We need to question authorities. And there's some truth to that. But I like to think in terms of saying that but critical thinking is not necessarily valuable unless you know and understand something worth critically thinking about. So we need to have a knowledge base to really understand any issue before we can go out and start showing how critical our thinking is about a topic. We need to understand it to know the basics and have studied them and thought about them deeply.
Now, up next is Donald from North New Jersey listening on 1260 AM. Donald, your question for Dr. Kevin Vost.
Hey, modern philosophy, reasonable paths to truth. I think Mark 4:15 it plays
Donald?
A part in the confusion.
I hate to bother you, Donald. Well, can you hear me? Oh,
we still.
No. Donald can't hear me, and I can't hear Donald. It's
there's a site on human trafficking.
Yeah, somehow we're not getting through to Donald, so we got to go back to him. I don't know if you could hear, but I wasn't getting adequate sound to know what he was saying, and he couldn't hear me interrupting.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't.
All right, let's go to Frank in Long Island, listening on Catholic Answers Live. Frank, I hope you can hear me. Your question for Dr. Kevin Vost.
Hello?
Hi, Frank. You're on with Dr. Kevin Vost. Your question, please.
Great.
Hello.
Hi, Cy. Hi, Dr. Vost. Thanks for taking my call. Aquinas gets his metaphysics from Aristotle, and in one of the conclusions they reach is that because God is pure act, then God is one and unique and has no shadow of a difference in him. So how do we reconcile that with our belief in the Trinity? How could God be absolutely one and unique and still be three?
Yeah, and of course, that's an excellent question and such a profound question. I could never or anyone could answer that fully. In Thomas's Summa Theologica, he starts with truths that are available to us, solely through our reason, kind of the preambles of faith, the fact that God exists, that he has those basic attributes that you talked about, the thing that he's pure act, that he's a unity, that he's eternal, omnipotent, all-knowing, and so forth. But yes, but Thomas also talks about, truths that we can't obtain through natural reason alone, and this is the realm of revelation, truths that God has decided to share with us and reveal to us, which he did through Christ, revealed to us that God was three, a unity, and yet the three persons there. He's a relationship. He's a loving relationship in and of himself. So if I understand Thomas right, he's saying we could not, by unaided reason alone, come to the mystery of the Trinity. We cannot fully comprehend it. But we can contemplate it, and we can use the scripture, we can use our reasoning to try to understand it better. So it's not a matter of something that would contradict reason, but for something that would transcend it.
Okay.
Is that it all helpful?
Can we defend it and say it's not contradictory? That's what I've heard somewhere, some of my readings, that Aquinas defended it as not contradictory. So I was just curious if you knew of any reading, any writings that he did for that.
Well, you know, he does treat of the Trinity and the Holy Spirit in the first part, you know, of the Summa Theologica, amongst other writings. That's the writing that I'm most familiar with. He comments on Boethius's writings on the Trinity. That would be another source there. But yes, Thomas would absolutely say there's no contradiction there, because he says that, you know, the principle of contradiction is a fundamental law of reality. He said, you know, God himself would not and could not violate the law of contradiction. For example, you know, would God make something that actually happened in the past make it so it never happened? And Thomas says no, because that would be a contradiction. It would make what was a truth in that particular way, in that particular time, now a falsehood. And that would be an utter contradiction. So God does all that is possible. God does not do contradictory things, and he does not ask us to believe contradictory things.
And so I guess for the listener to clarify, the church doesn't deny anything that Aristotle said about the uniqueness of God, certainly, because
right.
from the light of reason, Aristotle is able to see that God is not a thing in the world. There can only be one God, because if there's more than one God, then one of them is not God, or neither of them is God.
That's right.
And also that God is three persons. That's very, very hard to reconcile, but it's not impossible to reconcile. Is that acceptable to you, Frank?
Yeah, yeah.
Groovy, thank man. You. You can think like Aquinas. Thanks very much, Frank, for that call. More on thinking like Aquinas when we come back. Probably the biggest problem we've got is how we think and how we fail to think in the modern world. As a matter of fact, a great deal of cultures kind of recommends to us to stop thinking so much and just emote. We'll talk about where Christ fits into all of this in the thinking of Thomas Aquinas when we come back right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Got questions? Visit us today at Catholic.com.
A generation ago, Christian parents didn't have to worry about how to explain transgenderism to their 9-year-old children or help their teenager deal with mockery at school for believing in traditional marriage. But today, as our culture decays, we have to know how to talk to our children about these issues. In Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, Layla Miller and Trent Horn give parents the crucial tools and techniques to form children with the understanding they need, appropriate to their age and maturity level, to meet the world's challenges. If we're not teaching our children how to understand tough moral issues, then the world will. Read Made This Way and learn how to give your kids a firm foundation on which to build a life of moral clarity and happiness. Order your copy of Made This Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or logging onto the shop at Catholic.com.
With the recent commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the release of Humanae Vitae, there have been fresh attacks on Catholic teaching from outside and, unfortunately, inside the Church. That's why Catholic Answers thought it critical to provide a vigorous affirmation of Pope Paul VI's prophetic wisdom with our newest book, Inseparable, 5 Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humanae Vitae. We asked 5 distinguished contributors to reflect on and defend Humanae Vitae from 5 perspectives, each of them compelling, together forming a mosaic of truth. Don't be caught uninformed when the topic comes up among friends, family, and coworkers. Order your copy of Inseparable today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com.
Have you experienced the help of the saints?
We want to hear your take on how they've helped you on tomorrow's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Now let's return to more of Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. In this hour, we are joined by Kevin Vost, writer of about a baker's dozen or so Catholic books. Am I about right about that, Dr. Vost?
Yes, we've baked up 18 now.
Oh, 18. Oh, that's like a dozen and a half. That's way more than a baker's dozen.
Some haven't made it to my website yet.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So How to Think Like Aquinas is the book, and it's very timely in that this seems to be, you know, I was thinking, actually, this is a good book for if you got somebody in college or in high school or graduating from college or going to graduate school. Like this, it seems like anybody who's being exposed to schools these days is getting, in many ways, a lesson in exactly how not to think. Now, that's not to say all schools are doing that, but certainly it's a risk when you're heading out to school. And this is like a kind of a little primer on how to not fall into these modern traps of thoughtlessness.
Yeah, that's right, Si. And that was part of my intention. You know, in my teens, I was drawn away through not only college, but my own readings, you know, out in the secular world there in the philosophical world. And I think if I would have known about Thomas Aquinas the way I learned about him later in my 40s, I never would have spent 25 years in the atheistic wilderness. So yeah. I'm hoping that some will read this who won't follow that long, convoluted path that I did. And I've met others since I've come back to the church who've also been drawn back in through St. Thomas.
I'm sure many. Because of that, as you said, that his capacity for reason is so vast. And I actually said to our chaplain here one time, Father Hugh Barber, I said, using the kind of more traditional idea of the word genius, I said, don't you think Thomas is a genius? And he said, no. He said he's a saint, and he said that's why he can think so clearly. And I was really struck by that, that I had not thought of that. But okay, so let me put it to you in a form of a question this way. I think that the world will tell students, be yourself, and there's all this self-esteem and self-assertion and stand up for yourself and self, and you know, find your own path in the world. But Thomas would recommend imitation as an important way to actually think clearly, particularly imitation of Christ. Isn't that correct?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, you know, one of his precepts is to imitate saintly and noble people. And saints, you know, how do saints become saints? They become saints by imitating Christ, you know, through their own lives, through their own vocation, their own period in time. Christ is that ultimate teacher, that ultimate truth, the way, the truth, and the life. So Thomas would say that, yes, you know, yeah, like, and there's also the Greek motto, you know thyself. And we take it to mean, yes, get in touch with who you are as a unique person. But Thomas would also say, know yourself as a person that God has given the gift of humanity, as a person made in his likeness and image. And there, even though we're different, we share fundamental commonalities. And one thing that we all share is that we're never going to attain fulfillment and true happiness without Christ, without God.
That's just so unacceptable, I think, to the modern mind that so often thinks, well, no, you're wrong. You need to throw off all of those old ways of thinking and just think for yourself.
Oh, yes. I think that is so common in the world today, but we see what kind of, you know, chaos that can bring. It's kind of common to the way that Aristotle talked about youth and being young once long ago. This kind of rings a bell with me. You know, we get in our teenage years and we have these wonderful new thinking capacities. We can reason, we can set up hypothetical scenarios, if-then scenarios. We can think critically about what other people say. And sometimes we kind of get intoxicated with that power, because we have those thinking capacities, but we haven't yet acquired the experience, the wisdom, the knowledge base to realize that maybe some of those things we're criticizing, there's a real reason behind them that we didn't know. You know, so part of, you know, growing in knowledge, growing like Christ, is to embrace humility. That humility, the recognition that we come from the earth, that I think runs counter to so much of our thought today, that encourages just the opposite, pride. You know, pride is, I'll do it my way, I'll think it my way, and, you know, heck with what those who have gone before me might have to say about it.
So Thomas himself then is an imitator of Christ. That's, I think, that's what makes Thomas a saint. And he's also one who doesn't say, let me find my own vein, although he's a very creative and original thinker, but
He's actually drawing on very ancient sources, including, as we said, Aristotle, who was most important as a philosopher to Thomas Aquinas. I think he refers to him as the philosopher. As a matter of fact, he's so important. And then he draws upon St. Augustine. He draws upon Scripture and the Church Fathers. You mentioned Boethius and also the Sentences. Who wrote Peter Lombard?
Peter Lombard.
Yeah, wrote the Sentences. Yes. And so what, in your view, is the importance of being part of a tradition and part of a history to thinking clearly?
Yeah, and again, that's a fundamental point with St. Thomas Aquinas. And it's been said that, in a way, he inherited the intellect of all of the great church fathers who came before them because he respected them so much. He learned their positions so well that he was able to incorporate them and sometimes synthesize them and build upon them. So that is a hallmark of St. Thomas Aquinas that, you know, even back in his day in the 300s BC, Aristotle also shared that that aspect. Before he would address some topic, you know, as a blank slate, as if the topic arose the day, you know, he was born, he will look back and see what great thinkers of the past have had to say about it. Not necessarily to blindly follow them, but to see what roads they've already paved, what truths they've already laid out for us so we can then build upon them. So that is a hallmark of St. Thomas. Yes, he cites the pagan philosophers like Aristotle. Many times he calls him the philosopher, as did some others like the great Franciscan Bonaventure and Albert's teacher, St. Albert the Great. He cites Aristotle hundreds, if not thousands of times in the Summa. But I will say he cites St. Augustine even more. You know, so Thomas takes truth wherever he can find it, in pagan sources, but primarily in the scriptures and the church fathers. And that's just one of the things I truly respect the most about Thomas Aquinas. You see it, too, in the way he lays out the form of the Summa Theologica. When he gives his conclusion on a particular topic, he starts by fairly reporting what people with a different opinion or an incomplete opinion have had to say about that. He gives them their due before he goes on to explain why he thinks another answer is more complete or more correct.
Yeah, that is true. I hadn't thought about that, but that's part of the method of Thomas's answering any question, is to give other people's answers first. So you know that he has thought through all of these. He's not neglecting. It's not just rhetoric with Thomas.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we see so often today what they call the straw man arguments, where you don't like someone's argument, you attribute something weaker to them. And Thomas is just the opposite. He very fairly and completely states arguments contrary to his own, which implies that he has listened to the people with different opinions, thought about them carefully before he respectfully gives his own analyses.
Tim in Springfield, Illinois, you are up next. Your question for Dr. Kevin Vost.
Hey, Kevin, Tim here, and great show. Thank you so much for all you do. So who is the modern inheritor of Thomas's legacy? Is it somebody like Balthazar, or who else is out there today that is blowing apart the seams of the brains that we are all wowing about with Thomas here?
Ooh, yeah, my friend Tim, that's you calling and giving me a tough question. There are a lot of people in our modern era who are doing wonderful work with Thomas. I'll just cite a few that had impact on me. One was Father Reginald Garrigou Lagrange, a Dominican, who is, I believe he oversaw the dissertation of someone named Pope St. John Paul II. You know, he was from the 20th century, wrote wonderful books on Thomas, like Reality, a Synthesis is one of those. Many wonderful writers. A person who influenced me in terms of Thomas's psychology, his analysis of man, was a Father Robert Brennan, who wrote a book called Thomistic Psychology. Again, that was in the 20th century. Of course, now, you know, there are many people out there who are doing wonderful, wonderful work with St. Thomas Aquinas, Peter Kraft. I've been very impressed with the writings of Catholic Answers' frequent guest, Dr. Edward Fazer, is Aquinas, A Beginner's Guide, another work. So if anyone is interested, I sometimes get asked this question. Feel free to contact me through my website, and I'll give a suggested reading list. If I could get over to my closet right now, I could show you. I have a shelf that's stacked three deep of over 100 books on Thomas. So there's a lot of good people out there writing good stuff about St. Thomas. Thanks, Tim.
Good.
Oh, all right. Thank you, Tim. Thank you very, very much. Here, I'm going to I'm going to ask a question that I know that modern people will ask, and I'm going to let you ponder it for a minute because it's almost impossible, I think, for you to justify your position on Thomas when people come to you with this. But he is a dead white man, and where I am not listening to these old dead white men anymore. Thomas actually has something to say about that, about where you find the truth. So I will let you stew on that impossible to overcome just because of the brilliance of it argument. And we'll see where you end up with that. Dr. Kevin Vost is our guest. How to Think Like Aquinas is the book. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. That's 888-318-7884. The first issue of the year for next year's Catholic Answers magazine is going to be the ABCs of apologetics, and you get a it will make a great gift. Actually, they're going to go through the entire alphabet with a major apologetics question for each question of the alphabet that will fill the magazine. So I'm not good with numbers, but that's probably like 25, 26, 27 letters somewhere like that in the. You don't know, Nick? How many letters are in the alphabet, Nick? 26. Okay, somebody behind Nick yelled it. Plus, when you subscribe, you get 15% off the cover price and get a digital scription added absolutely free. That's a $19.95 value for free. Subscribe now. Go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. You will get the first issue of the year, and it is one you will keep around for a long, long time because it's got the ABCs of apologetics. CatholicAnswersMagazine.com.
Your questions, Catholic Answers, live.
Catholic Radio gives us an opportunity to become part of a larger family. It can be so lonely when we are struggling in our faith or just try to live our faith on our own. But Catholic Radio connects us to that larger community of faith where we're able to get the support, the encouragement, and the grace that we need to not just struggle on, but to really celebrate all the blessings that God brings into our life through our Catholic faith.
Dr. Greg Popcheck thinks Catholic Radio is important. So should you.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Kevin Vost is our guest. He teaches psychology at Aquinas College in Nashville, Tennessee, and he's got a book about Aquinas, How to Think Like Aquinas. And here's the deal, Dr. Vost. I may be being slightly facetious, slightly tongue-in-cheek to say, well, we should dismiss the truths that and the depths of truth that Thomas plumbed because he's just one of those old dead white guys. What would Thomas say about judging the truth by its sources?
Well, one thing I will say that when Thomas found these truths, he was a living guy, okay?
So he was still alive when he did this work. Thank you for clarifying.
He was. He actually had a human body like we do and the same planet and solar system and all that, you know, the same galaxy even. But yeah, there's so many ways to approach it. Thomas does come out clearly, even in these little precepts, and says, you know, revere the truth regardless of its source. You know, Thomas himself took truths from pagans before people didn't know Christ. There were Jewish philosophers like Maimonides that he respected, some Arab Muslim philosophers, theologians, Avicenna, Averroes. So Thomas said, you know, it doesn't matter so much who says it. Ask yourself, is it true or not? That's the fundamental. And I will say, if Thomas could hear this idea about the dead, you know, white guys, that kind of thing, I think there's so many ways you could approach this. Thomas might say, well, whiteness is an accident. You know, it's not the substance. It's not what really matters there. We all share a common humanity. And if I can rant just a bit, you know, I see this in this idea of like identity politics, where we do treat people just by their color or you know, race, particular characteristic like that. But we ignore then the individual level, treating each person within that class as if they were the same, you know, ignoring that individual difference. And then also at the broader level, ignoring what we all share in common as human beings, sharing intellect and will. So yeah, I'm not a fan of discounting anything that the dead white men say, but I'm absolutely open to analyzing the truth that what any person offers. And Thomas himself was highly influenced by women, I might add, such as the Blessed Mother. And it said he carried on his person a relic of Saint Agnes.
Indeed. And it's so interesting. I hadn't thought about what you said, but certainly the Arab philosophers were very influential on Thomas and philosophers from Africa, philosophers from Arabia. And so he didn't, yes. he wasn't at all himself troubled by where knowledge came from. And this idea that the truth is the truth is no matter who it comes from, left him open even to listening to people who were, I mean, on the surface would have been enemies, so to speak, of the Christian world or of the Dominicans or, you know, which was Thomas's order and all that. It strikes me that it's one of the ways that we have maybe short-circuited our own thinking. We're so concerned with, well, who said it, rather than, well, what did they say and how does one make sense of that, that we're short-circuiting ourselves. He says, and you paraphrase this, fill your mental cupboard to the brim on building a knowledge base. What does Thomas say about just getting all the knowledge that you can?
Yeah, I love this idea there, because that's another thing I hear, you know, today all the time. Well, do we really need to memorize things? Do we really need to store all this knowledge base? Because aren't all the answers sitting there on the screen in front of us or even in the palm of our hand on that smartphone, right? But one little example I like to give there is just imagine a scenario that you have to undergo a major surgery. Who do you want doing your surgery? The world's greatest IT man surrounded by the world's most powerful computers with all the world's medical knowledge that is, you know, within a click, just a click away, or your average run-of-the-mill surgeon? Now me, you know, I would go with that surgeon. He has less knowledge instantly available to him, but the knowledge he has been internalized. It's in his head. It's in his hands. So I would go with him. Now, if it's a computer question, I'd go with the computer guy. But I think that the important lesson there is, even in our day and time, there are things so worth knowing. You know, the essentials of our own professions, the details of our own passions, our hobbies, our avocations, and above all, the truths of our faith. So Thomas is saying, fill it to the brim. You know, modern psychology tells us that with all of our billions and billions of neurons and potential interconnections, it's virtually limitless. In a lifetime, you're not going to run out of space, you know, in the brain with your capacity to store knowledge. So Thomas advises it, you know, to build it up. Because in a sense, you know, the more we know, the easier it is to acquire new knowledge, to make connections, to get ahas when somebody, you know, talks about something different or has a different perspective. So Thomas was a huge champion of building up that knowledge and building on what we said before, searching for truth regardless who said it, regardless of their color or their nationality or what period in history they lived.
I notice you even have in the back of the book, you get us memorizing stuff. You are big into the memorizing.
Yeah, I do, you know, because Thomas and his teacher, St. Albert the Great, explicitly wrote about these memory methods. Thomas does it right in the middle of the Summa Theologica. St. Albert did it in his book on the good, where he talks about the virtue of prudence, and they really give us very simple practical techniques. So I started that, you know, with the book Memorize the Faith. I used it to memorize the reason. So I also incorporate it here. So we use it to memorize these 10 key precepts that Thomas gives, 10 pieces of advice. Then we go on to memorize 20 common logical fallacies, faulty reasoning we see out there. And then what I call 20 premises of sand or erroneous isms like constructivism, relativism, materialism, things like that. And we finish off with a nice round 10 heresies, different you know, erroneous thoughts about the faith. So part of the idea is if we're acquiring the ability to think like Aquinas, we should build our knowledge base. We should be able to memorize things and really know them. And we should be able to apply those thinking abilities to help us, you know, keep us on the path of truth in a culture that's so opposed even to the idea that there is any truth to be found.
And so I suppose that part of the book then is teaching us how to think like Aquinas. I get the impression, reading your words, it's also an invitation to care about reasoning. And that's the one that strikes me as, how are we going to do it? How are we going to get people, you know, these, especially people who are all riled up And they think that the way to be an authentic human is to, I don't know, it seems to me like many people seem to think that now the way to be authentic a human is to have a cause and to find a cause and attach yourself to that cause instead of actually thinking through things. So maybe just a word, and then I will go back to our callers, on how do we invite people just to be interested in the act of reasoning?
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the great assets there of Thomas Aquinas, because just to discuss things with the person, to try to come to some kind of conclusion, we're going to have to ideally show some respect for the reasoning process itself. Otherwise, we can't even begin to communicate. And Thomas was a master reasoner. There's a little story I include in the second part of the book that I was really kind of impressed to remember this, that decades ago, Thomas was even, in a sense, the hero of a science fiction short story. One of the award-winning, was considered one of the best science fiction stories of the 20th century, where Thomas plays a role. I won't describe exactly how, but it's in like a post-nuclear war future. It's based in a land, I believe they call it California. But the character of Thomas plays a role in reestablishing the faith in God through the use of reason. People reject faith. He shows how, starting with the basic things that we can all see and think about, how we can move from those common experiences, work our way through and realize, you know, God is really there.
And that's what the scripture tells us too. Let us reason together. What's the name of that story? You're not going to tell us? It's top secret, or?
It's called, no, it's not. It's called, I just didn't want to give away the punchline, but it's called The Quest for Saint Aquin. The Quest for Saint Aquin by an Anthony Boucher, B-U-C-H-E-R, and has a really cool twist at the end that I refuse to give away. I do give it away in the book, though.
I'll give you $5. No? Okay. We'll go to Mark in Alberta, Canada. Mark, you are up with Dr. Kevin Vost. Your question, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's afternoon here still in Edmonton, Alberta. If one goes, is convinced from St. Thomas Aquinas' writings about the that there has to be an ultimate cause, and then fast forwards for today, 2018 in human-made time, and quickly follows Pope Francis's one of his recommendations to read both the Old Testament, New Testament, the Bible, at least 5 minutes a day, contemplate on them, and then looks for this gentleman and other Catholic philosophical writers and apologists like yourself and this and that. Is that a good way to go, or does he have any criticism of that? Or anyway, I'll stop right there and listen.
Oh, no. I mean, I do have a chapter 2 on recommendations for building your knowledge base, and the very first one is just that. I talk about things like history and philosophy and literature, but scripture itself, that recommendation to read scripture daily, I am all for that. And I'll even point out something really interesting. If you read Thomas's Summa, where he's talking about the nature of God, the proofs for his existence, he goes through, very in-depth philosophical arguments, leading us from the things that we can see with our senses, showing how this implies the existence of God. But in one of those arguments, the third, when he's showing us through reason how God is the only being whose essence and existence are one, it is his essence to exist, not us. We didn't give ourselves our own existence. There was a time we weren't here. There's a time when our physical bodies won't be here as they are on earth. But God is that only cause of all existence whose essence and existence are one. So anyway, with these logical arguments, he then pretty much just says, oh, by the way, Exodus 3:15, when Moses asks God his name, he says, Yahweh, basically, I am. I am who am. So here we have these, supposedly primitive people in the desert. They're given this brief answer in the words of God himself that summarizes in just a word or two all this majestic philosophical reasoning about the nature of God. So yeah, we should always be founded in the scriptures. We're not sola scriptura. We're not people who don't also recognize other sources of truth. But the scriptures are the ultimate and fundamental sources of truth, revealed to us through God himself.
Does that answer satisfy you, Mark?
It does for today. Probably, I want to keep learning every day as long as God willing, while I'm on earth here. So thank
Amen.
You very much.
Amen. Thanks, Mark. It does for today.
Oh, most welcome. Yes.
Great way to say it. Well said, Mark.
Love it. Love it.
Okay, so I want to ask you this. A lot of young people will go to college and have to study their philosophy and whatnot, and they will probably get modern philosophers. And there is a kind of really a fracturing of philosophy. So who knows what that they'll get? There's no longer really a canon of philosophy, I don't think. So is Aquinas a good kind of inoculation against the most pernicious ideas of modern philosophy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think it's in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, so many of our modern misconceptions and errors have been there in some form, you know, even in Thomas's day. So he's a wonderful inoculation. I'm thinking back to Tim's question, too. Another modern writer was Mortimer Adler.
Oh,
he wrote
yeah.
a book called 10 Philosophical Mistakes. And that would be a good primer, too, if a person would want to go in there and see what's wrong with our modern way of thinking of modern philosophy. So Adler was a Thomist, and that book was called 10 Philosophical Mistakes.
And another book you might consider getting is Kevin Vose's brand new book, How to Think Like Aquinas, The Sure Way to Perfect Your Mental Powers. It's available from Sophia Institute Press, and I'm sure available wherever fine Catholic books are sold. Dr. Kevin Vose, thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you, Cy, and thanks to all of today's callers and listeners.
Coming up next, Dr. Mary Healy will be here. I'm serious, one of the best Bible scholars in the world, and we're going to talk about the Bible. You can't beat that. Hang around for another hour of Catholic Answers Live.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.